Good evening and welcome. I'm Stephen Boyd Saum, editor of Santa Clara Magazine at Santa Clara University and a member of the nonfiction jury for the California Book Awards. And it's my great pleasure to serve as the MC for the 85th annual California Book Awards, administered by the Commonwealth Club, which, since 1931, has honored outstanding California writers. Along with the recognition that the awards carry, there are also cash awards to winners, thanks to the generous endowments by the late Bill Lane, longtime publisher of Sunset Magazine, and the late Dr. Martha Heasley Cox, who's the founder of the Center for Steinbeck Studies at San Jose State University. Tonight's event is the culmination of many months of reading, discussing, and discerning by an outstanding jury of literary professionals, including scholars and educators, poets and novelists, librarians and translators, and even an editor here and there. We're an appreciative audience for the books we consider. More than a few of us have written books ourselves. And I'd like to ask my fellow jurors who are here to stand as I name them. For young adult and juvenile literature, Rosalind Chang and Carla Kozak. For fiction and first fiction, Peter Fish, Anita Amirizwani, Allison Hoover Bartlett, and Catherine Ma. And for poetry, Sarah Rosenthal and Denise Newman. My fellow nonfiction jurors include Roy Eisenhart, Alden Mudge, and Mary Ellen Hannibal, who's our jury chair. All right. And not here to stand and be recognized, but here in spirit and deeply missed by many in the literary environs in California and beyond, is our poetry juror, Justin Chin, whom we tragically lost late last year. Our poets will be paying tribute to him later this evening. Now, one of the privileges and dilemmas that comes with these awards, we were presented with an extraordinary variety of good writing to choose from uncovering moments of grace in the laundromats and halfway houses of the American Southwest, and in the lives of the Bay Area upper class, struggling mothers, hitchhikers, and bad Christians, to the kaleidoscopic story of the quintessential but mostly ignored American murder, one young black man slaying another, to a chilling narration and layered portrayal of a young man drawn into the extreme politics and legacy of the Vietnam War. This year's winners offer insight into the varying shades and complexities of the human experience. In addition to tonight's winners, I highly recommend taking a look at all of the finalists over which we agonize, because they were all exceptional. I'd also like to thank the Commonwealth Club team who helped pull this annual project and beautiful event together. They are Renee Miguel, Alex Hernandez, and Jennifer Haberman, who have coordinated the hundreds of book submissions from the deep pool of California writers, along with Kimberly Moss and Kaylee Abrams from the club's development team. So thanks much to you all. And we are tremendously grateful to our loyal program sponsor, the Bank of the West. Please welcome Paul Weibel, head of the National Finance Group for Bank of the West.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Steve, for that great introduction. And thank all of you for joining us this evening to honor California authors. Bank of the West has been a proud sponsor of the Commonwealth Club for over a decade, and I believe this is my fifth year hosting this event. It's one I look forward to. Like the Commonwealth Club, the bank was founded in California more than 100 years ago, headquartered right here in San Francisco, and hence we share the deep ties to this community and our California heritage. We believe in supporting the arts and education through programs such as the California Book Awards, because vibrant communities involve more than just economics. Celebrating the literary arts is just one way to inspire how we live and work. Writers and poets help us experience and appreciate the world and each other with sensitivity and understanding. On behalf of myself and Bank of the West's 10,000 employees, it's my pleasure and sincere congratulations to the authors being honored tonight. Thank you, and enjoy the program. And now, please welcome the Commonwealth Club's President and Chief Executive Officer, Dr. Gloria Duffy.
Thank you, Paul, and thank you for Bank of the West's ongoing support for the event, which comes from their interest in literacy and reading more generally, and they do many, many things in this area. So I'd also like to thank the jurors, staff, and authors who've made this book awards process possible, and particularly our chair, Mary Ellen Hannibal, who couldn't be with us this evening, the jury chair. They all put in a tremendous amount of time on this project. I'm going to talk tonight about one extraordinary former juror, a juror for about 15 years on the California Book Awards, Martha Heasley Cox. Martha passed away last fall. She was an avid reader. In fact, one of the jury members told me that she read every book incredibly meticulously, commented and thought about everything well into her late 80s and early 90s, I think. Martha Cox was a professor of English at San Jose State University. She taught there for decades. She also wrote textbooks on writing and literature, and her textbooks were adopted by several states, including Texas, as the official textbooks of for the state. Martha Cox lived the literary life, and she is a prime example of how literary life can have many rewards. In her case, some of them were financial. Martha, being a scholar and a state college professor, also did well. And she did some amazing things with the money that she earned from writing and publishing these textbooks. One of them was to provide an early endowment for the California Book Awards, enabling us to give small sums to the authors, which are reflected in the awards tonight. She endowed the Steinbeck Center at San Jose State, as was mentioned. And when Martha passed away last fall, she left a bequest to the Commonwealth Club. And I spoke with Martha many times over the years about this. The bequest was specifically and only designated for awards to winning authors. No administration, no overhead, no support for the ceremony, so we're very happy that Bank of the West steps up to do this. And she and I went around several times about this, and where I, as a good CEO, said, but you know, we have to pay for doing this. And she said, I want the awards to go to the authors. Martha left $1,035,000 to the Commonwealth Club to endow the California Book Awards. The annual income from this sum of money will go entirely to cash awards to the authors. So we'll be able to increase the cash awards to several times their current size, starting with next year's awards. Sorry, guys. but as it goes, we just received the bequest, and so we haven't had time to accumulate much income on it. But by next year, this will be a very much more significant cash literary prize. Thanks to Martha Cox, she was an indomitable, unique woman. And I also want to say thanks to a woman named Arlene Okerlund, another English professor at San Jose State, who was Martha's office mate for many years and helped Martha continue to see the value and stay the course in her decision to leave a bequest for this program. Arlene was her executor and made sure that this bequest was delivered to the club, and rapidly the estate was settled and was a very big advocate for the Commonwealth Club. So again, the literary life has many rewards, and Martha Cox gave much to her to all of us while she was alive as a juror and participant, and she's given much to us to increase the importance and the remunerativeness of these awards to the authors going forward. So we thank you, Martha, and we thank all of you for everything you've contributed as well.
So I'm Peter Fish. I'm part of the proud band of fiction jurors for the Book Awards here, and we had a very good year. So I'll be announcing both the first fiction and our fiction medals. Starting off with our gold medal for first fiction to The Sympathizer by Viet Thanh Nguyen. Political novels are rare in American fiction. Wildly ambitious and successful political novels are even rarer. That's why the fiction jury takes great pleasure in giving the first fiction award to Viet Thanh Nguyen's The Sympathizer, a novel. The Sympathizer takes a period of American and Southeast Asian history that many of us thought we already knew well and transforms it into something entirely new, shocking, brutally funny, and brutal. A tale told by a Vietnamese captain of divided loyalties who, as a narrator, can take his place alongside Graham Greene's Thomas Fowler or Joseph Conrad's Marlowe. It is an astonishing book. So with great pleasure, we offer the first fiction to Viet Thanh Nguyen.
I'm going to try to do what I did not do last time I got an award, which is not to leave the check up here. Second thing is, I've got to take your picture. I'm Asian. Okay. Hey, I do want to thank the Commonwealth Club, and I want to thank especially the jurors who read these books. I know what a challenge it is, and also hopefully a reward, but certainly really time-consuming, and an unsung task that all of you do. I'd also like to thank just being a Californian, because I think I grew up here in California for all but about, I spent about all about 10 or 11 years here in California, and I don't think it would have been possible for me to have written The Sympathizer without the benefit of living in a state as diverse as California is, and in a state that has political views that are very diverse, but oftentimes are also very radical and cutting edge. And those kinds of viewpoints really help to inform and shape this novel, which is about the Vietnam War, but about the Vietnam War as it's been remembered by not just Americans, but by Vietnamese people and by Vietnamese Americans. And I grew up in San Jose, where the Vietnam War was very much a living factor for the Vietnamese refugees that I lived among. And I wanted to take those experiences and put them into the novel, but not simply to acknowledge those experiences. I didn't want to simply celebrate what Vietnamese people or Vietnamese refugees had gone through or what Americans had gone through. I wanted to also be critical of all those experiences too. So I try to criticize everybody in this book, try to offend everybody in this book. And evidently I didn't succeed completely, because there were some people who weren't offended enough so that I got this prize. I'm very thankful for that. I was also asked to talk a little bit about the process, and in order to do that, I just wanted to thank two people in person that I have never had the opportunity to thank in person for this book. And those two people are right there, my partner, Lan Dung, my son, Ellison. If you want to talk about process, the fact of the matter is that Lan has, we've been together 20 years, and not married all 20 years, but still I should get credit for every single one of those years. And she should too, because as the partner of a writer, she read every single word I wrote, oftentimes more than once, and also put up with the personality of a writer, which, despite our veneer, is oftentimes quite crabby and grumpy, as she can testify to. So huge props to her for putting up with me and helping me. Ellison, His birth was the deadline for finishing the novel. So I finished the novel 2 days before his birth. So I give him tremendous credit for doing that as well. And he's the namesake of Ralph Ellison, who is one of my greatest literary influences. And obviously, if you read Invisible Man, you'll see his influence throughout the book. And just to wrap up, thank you to all of you for the Commonwealth Club and your supporters for supporting literature and supporting the spirit of California. Thank you.
Okay, now we're going to move on to our fiction awards. And first is the silver medal for fiction. In a season where some of the most loudly publicized novels were enormous, one of them clocked in at 1,100 pages, Ernest J. Finney's Elevation 6040 packs enormous power and beauty in just 117 pages. The time is the 1980s, the place, the northern Sierra Nevada. One family, a father who wants to keep living his back-to-the-land dream of the 1960s, a mother who understands that the dream's time has passed, three kids, including 13-year-old Roscoe, who as a narrator is clear-eyed, unsentimental, and capable at a couple of points of bringing this reader to tears. You either belong in the mountains or you don't, he announces near the start of this book. And that is what the novel is about. Where do Roscoe and the members of his family truly belong? I think of Elevation 6040 as a Sierra cabin, handsome, compact, and built to last. With great pleasure, we give the fiction silver medal to Ernest J. Finney for Elevation 6040.
Heartfelt thanks to the Commonwealth Club panel of judges for awarding Elevation 6040 the California Book Awards Silver Medal for Fiction. This book is a salute to a small California mountain county with a complicated and twisted history, once swarming with 100,000 49ers looking to strike it rich. Sierra County is now home to a national forest and about 3,000 residents, a setting of great natural beauty, though scarred by evidence of past errors with hydraulic and hard rock mining and clear cutting. Elevation takes place mostly in Sierra County, across a couple of summers and winters in the 1980s, as seen through the eyes of a 13-year-old boy and his family. And much of what happens to them grows out of the distinctive nature of the locale. To receive this award tonight is an honor for the book and the place, and I thank you.
Now for the fiction gold medal. And the winner is A Manual for Cleaning Women, posthumously awarded to Lucia Berlin. Lucia Berlin's A Manual for Cleaning Women is an extraordinary collection of stories rich with violence and tenderness, humor and truth. Reading them is an almost physical experience. You feel the air knocked out of you and hope breathed into you. And often, even in the darkest moments, you laugh. Berlin left us too early, but our profound appreciation for her writing will no doubt live long past the rest of us. Accepting the award for her is her son, David, and the editor of the collection, or co-editor, Stephen Emerson.
Thanks, Peter.
Sure.
Eloquent. 12 years since Lucia Berlin died. So for me to be able to see now, over the last year, large numbers of readers all over the world falling in love with her work on account of her great humanity, her wit, a thousand other things. Equally to see the critical reception on account of what a dazzling writer she is, it's hard for me to describe that. This prize is very much a part of that. Naturally, this was my dream when I began putting the book together, but I never dreamed this big. Huge thanks to the panel of jurors, the club, to Lucia's sons, particularly her very dedicated executor, Jeff Berlin. So, I have a little quick thing here. Whenever there was something Lucia loved, which could be anything, a meal, person, a dress, she'd say that the thing was dreamy. Yeah. Have you seen Pulp Fiction? Oh, yes. How was it? Oh, It was dreamy. I'm pretty sure she'd say that tonight's festivities are dreamy. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. On behalf of my brothers, Jeff, who's here, Dan, who couldn't make it, and our late brother, Mark, as well as Lucia's grandkids, Nico, Truman, and Cody, we humbly and gratefully accept this award. It's been an unbelievable 10 months since the book came out, and tonight is kind of just another validation of Lucia's life work. And like Steve said, we had no idea that it would be received so positively. To all of Lucia's friends, like Stephen, fellow writers and students, thank you for the support and encouragement she was writing for them, especially her friend writer, Barry Gifford, who kind of pushed the idea of the book forward, and then Stephen for doing the heavy lifting and taking it on and doing such a great job with the editing. And being present at all the events like this together, we've done quite a few of these. It's been really incredible. We want to thank, obviously, the Commonwealth Club for hosting this and keeping this going. We didn't know people still read books and had no idea so many would read hers. And obviously the jurors who, from what I understand, read like 120 books and fought and cried and screamed and came up with this as the winner. It's really been amazing. And she also said, as opposed to being dreamy, that she'd adore this. And she adored Stephen and would adore all of you. So just thank you very much.
Good evening. I'm Roz Chang, member of the book jury, and my friend Carla Kozak and I specialize in the juvenile as well as young adult books, which have been just really amazing. So it's my pleasure tonight to present the Juvenile Gold Award. Be Who You Are. A transgender youth yearns for her family, friends, and the world to see her not just her physical being, but her true essence. Alex Gino tells George's story, or Melissa's story, with clarity, heartbreak, warmth, inspiration, and hope. This voice offers a much-needed perspective, a chance to understand the struggles of secret girls and boys. And you know, I've been thinking, especially after yesterday, in light of the recent events in our country, there's an even greater need for more books with diverse viewpoints to foster empathy toward one another. After yesterday's tragedy in Orlando, I appreciate even more Alex Gino's sharing of Melissa's story with this world. It was a very, very brave thing to do. To accept the award for George, please welcome A.J. Sarabi from Rainbow Day Camp.
Thank you, thank you. I am delighted to receive this California Book Award. Please excuse my absence as I am currently traveling, meeting with students, librarians, and booksellers, and yes, working on a second novel. When I started writing Melissa's story in 2003, the publishing industry probably would not have picked it up. And now, here I am, or well, AJ is anyway, receiving this award. It's truly amazing. And there will be backlash to the progress we are making. There is backlash. I was just in North Carolina, where friendly stores put up signs that say, "No ID needed for bathroom use." and black and brown trans women continue to face unspeakable levels of violence. But for every step they try to take backward, we take two forward. We tell our stories, we share our lives, we aim to live without shame, and we strive for more. Thank you again for this honor.
Good evening. I'm Carla Kozak. Along with Roz, I was the jury for, we were the jurors for the children and young adult books. And it's my honor to present those awards for the awards for young adult. The Alex Crow, A Journey Through a War-Torn Country, Scientific Experimentation, and a Bizarre Summer Camp. These are the stories of Ariel, refugee and adoptee, Leonard the Melting Man, controlled by unknown forces, the doomed 19th century polar voyage of the Alex Crow, and the boys of Camp Mary Seymour. Extra bonus, brotherhood, and more euphemisms for masturbation than one can shake a stick at. It all comes together with raw brilliance as the reader ponders survival versus extinction, and who determines which is which. Congratulations to Andrew Smith, Silver Award winner for Young Adult Books.
I don't know what she was talking about. There is a real Ariel, and I owe him a tremendous debt of gratitude for being an inspiration to the novel The Alex Crow. He was the first of many young Syrian boy refugees that I've been working with in the past 6 years or so. And I thought when I first met him, in such a quick, short period of time, how he had gone from, you know, one environment of absolute insanity and then in the name of being saved ends up in another environment of absolute but maybe less toxic insanity in Southern California. So I thought I needed to write that story. As always, I have to thank my wife and my son and my daughter for putting up with me. And thank you to the Commonwealth Club and the jurors, because I know how hard you work and how much, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your support for the culture of arts in California. I have to say thank you to my brilliant editor, Julie Strauss-Gabel, and my friend, agent, and quite often therapist, Michael Barrett. Thank you very much. And then, as Max would say, let's go make some silver medals.
Challenger Deep by Neil Schusterman. A plunge into the mind of a schizophrenic teen, brilliantly plotted, beautifully written, and achingly insightful. As Caden Bosk moves between real life and the bizarre voyage not quite connected to reality, the reader takes a leap into the rough sea of mental illness. Brendan Schusterman allowed his father, Neil, to interpret his personal voyage. Together, they offer an anchor of hope. Congratulations to Neil Schusterman, Gold Award winner for Young Adult Books, accepting on his behalf the illustrator and his son, Brandon Schusterman.
So my dad prepared a speech, but my phone's dead, so I'm going to wing this, which is great because I don't get to say my gibberish on stage enough, so this is good. Challenger Deep is a personal story. It's about from things that happened to me, experiences that I had with my own mental illness when I was younger, and how it affected our family, and it's not a story that that is completely unique, because one in every three families there's someone within the family who suffers from mental illness. So it's a story that I think everyone can relate to, because everyone knows someone who suffers from some form of mental illness, whether it be schizoaffective disorder, bipolar disorder, OCD. It's something that our society has always had to deal with, and it's something that we continue to have to find solutions for and ways to cope and to help people who are suffering. The artwork, I did the artwork in the book, which all kind of came out of a period of my life when I was suffering a lot and really struggling with mental illness. And the artwork inspired a lot of the surreal aspects of the book. I worked with my dad through the process of the book to make sure that everything, everything fit, and that everything was, it was my story as much as it was my father's story. And I'd just like to thank you all from the bottom of my heart for this award. It's such an honor to get this award in our home state, and it's just really amazing, really, really amazing. So thank you.
Hi, I'm book juror Sarah Rosenthal.
And I'm Dean Rader.
And we're here to honor two talented writers tonight who are no longer with us.
I'm no longer on the poetry jury, but it is a great honor for me to be invited back to honor our friend and fellow juror, Justin Chin. Justin Chin, a queer Asian American performance artist and author of several books of poetry and prose, served on the California Book Awards jury for 15 years before tragically passing late last year at 46 years old. Justin was a major figure in the alternative writing scene here in San Francisco, but as a jurist, and I can speak to this with great experience, he displayed remarkably Catholic literary tastes.
Justin said, "The real work is finding empathy with something that has nothing to do with you directly." Justin's unique combination of openness and acuity, prickly humor, and gentle compassion are sorely missed. Here's a bit of his poetry for you. It's a poem called Final. "When I die, I want to be cremated and buried in the Cimetière des Chiens on the outskirts of Paris.
On my grave, I want a statue of a dog viciously digging into the mound and pulling a stone hand out with its mouth.
A plump cat will be balanced like a Bulgarian acrobat on the dog's back.
On the cat's head, a mouse through a hamster or a chinchilla is acceptable too. We'll be holding on to the cat's ears as if it were riding the rodeo for the fifth year.
The rodent will have a top hat and tails on. Resting on the top hat, a butterfly. And on the tip of the butterfly's left wing, two ladybugs dancing the foxtrot.
The inscription on the tombstone will read, 'Despair not. No strange fate befalls. On a fearful night, in heart, no heroes raised, no monsters vexed, no affliction reached. In dreams of outlaws' tears, this blessed rest.
Thank you. Okay, so now it's time to present the award to someone else who is no longer with us. The gold medal in poetry goes to Cancer Angel. In language both frank and incantatory, Cancer Angel charts poet and homeopath Beth Murray's journey from diagnosis through chemotherapy to alternative medicine. Murray attends acutely, tenderly, to a surprising variety of presences: the spirit of a dead brother, pine trees on a ridge, phantasmagoric goats, even the tumors growing inside her. Each act of attention strengthens her capacity to shed fears, inhibitions, and disappointments, rejoice in nature's interconnectedness, and face the possibility of death. By the time she finished the book, Murray believed she'd moved through the worst of the illness. She hadn't. She died a year or so later, leaving us this work of integrity and courage. I was a hawk before this. I was collecting incredible views, the song of our brief encounter. To accept this award, please welcome Beth Murray's sister, Kelly.
Our family wishes to thank the Commonwealth Club of California for awarding Beth the gold medal in poetry. We also wish to thank the team at Belladonna for publishing Beth's work, Cancer Angel. Beth was a very direct person with extraordinary emotional integrity. As a poet and classical homeopath, she believed that the body manifested illness as a necessary marker which could aid in emotional discovery and healing. In accepting this award for her, we are reminded of ancient creation stories where God brings the universe before the first humans to be named. In the act of naming creation, we humans were allowed to demonstrate lordship over it. In Cancer Angel, Beth named her pain and asserted her lordship over it. She sought to question the current structures regarding this confounding illness and tried to seek her own inner healing and wholeness in the face of this devastating disease. While that pain took her body, it never took her spirit. Thank you again on her behalf for this award.
Nonfiction. The silver medal in nonfiction goes to Neurotribes, The Legacy of Autism and the Future of Neurodiversity by Steve Silberman. Neurotribes is a comprehensive magisterial history and inquiry into autism, how it has evolved, and what it means for the future of human cognition. It's an absolutely mind-blowing book. Congratulations to Steve Silberman, winner of the Silver Medal for nonfiction.
Thanks so much, buddy. Thank you so much. Thanks to the Commonwealth Club, specifically to the jurors. Even getting through my book is a lot of reading. So thank you so much for that hard work. I also want to thank my husband, Keith Carricker, who supported us both on a school teacher's salary when my 1.5 year of writing turned into about 5.5 years. I also want to thank the autistic people and their families who shared their stories with me, which make up the book. Tom Killian, who's one of my favorite artists, asked me about 20 minutes ago what inspired me to write the book. And I tell that story at length in the introduction, but what I told Tom was the pain and suffering and confusion of the families of autistic people. And I saw a tremendous real confusion about things like vaccines, et cetera. And once I started digging into the deep history of autism that had never been discovered, I discovered that A, the standard version of history is repeated in a million textbooks and Wikipedia was incorrect, and that if you understood the correct timeline, you would understand why the diagnoses started going up so much in the 1990s. I've been a lot of places since the book was published, but probably one of the most beautiful things that was said to me after one of my talks was said by the young father of an autistic kid. And he came up to me afterwards and he said, "It never occurred to me to see my beautiful son as broken, but reading your book gave me permission to love him exactly as he is." So thank you very much. I'm very honored.
The gold medal in nonfiction goes to Ghettocide, a story of murder in America. After years of embedding with homicide detectives in poor neighborhoods in Los Angeles, LA Times crime reporter Jill Leovi became convinced that the high murder rate among African American males is due to under-policing. Murder, she notes in Ghettocide, is an illuminating nonfiction narrative. But murder, she notes, is the number one cause of death of African-American men between the ages of 18 and 35. And African-American males are just 6% of the country's population, but nearly 40% of those murdered. Their deaths are largely ignored by the media and receive, as she shows, a collective shrug from society. Fewer than 40% of the murderers in these cases, usually other African-American men, are caught and punished. In this vacuum, Leovi asserts, a heart-rending chaos reigns. Now, Ghettocide follows the story of LAPD homicide detective John Skeggs' efforts to solve the 2007 murder in Watts of 18-year-old Bryant Tonelli, the son of a well-regarded African-American LAPD detective. White and politically conservative, Skeggs believes that all homicide victims, and especially poor victims of color, deserve excellent detective work. That dedication helps him develop good relationships in the community. But while Leovi's story is propelled by the investigation of Bryant's killing, its purpose is to raise much larger issues about homicide in America. The result is a gripping book that could and should change our view of the horror and social upheaval of homicide in these communities. We're pleased to present the gold medal in nonfiction to Jill Leovi.
Thank you very much to the Commonwealth Club. Thank you to the jurors for reading all those nonfiction books. It's just so cool to get an award with the words California Heritage associated with it, and to get it in the state. Ghettocide is really, besides being about homicide, about California. And since the book's been published, I was talking to people about the creation of this award in the first place. And it's quite amazing. I've been invited to the East Coast a lot, something I never ordinarily do, and talk to a lot of people who talk a lot about criminal justice and are very concerned, and they talk about police reform, and they don't talk about the LAPD, and they talk about controversial episodes of police use of force and riots, and they don't talk about California, and they talk about overcrowded prisons, and they don't talk about California. And I could go on and on, but it's still needed. This is a great award. And so I appreciate receiving it. And Ghetto Side is about lawlessness. It's about tying urban violence to some of the same forces you see in Brazilian favelas and in South Africa. And it took me as a journalist to a place I never thought I would go. I changed every single thought I had in my head over the course of 10 years. And then I thought, nobody is going to believe me. Nobody is going to hear this, and they're going to think I'm crazy. So on a personal level, this award means a lot. It means a lot because, as others have pointed out, it always takes you five times more years than you told your publisher it was going to take. And you think after you finish it, the second book, are you kidding? I need my day job. And so this is important. Thank you so much.
So next we're coming up on a couple of sort of special categories for books and for authors who don't fit neatly into the kind of our usual categories. The first one is Californiana for a book and a writer, and in this case artist, whose work is sort of entire body of work, you know, says something marvelous about the state. And this year's gold medal for Californiana goes to Tom Killian for California's Wild Edge, The Coast in Prints, Poetry, and History. As I'm sure many of you already know, Tom Killian is a beloved California treasure, an artist whose singular work expresses the deep beauty of the Golden State. This book integrates poetry, history, and art, and finds the song of the California coast. Many congratulations to Tom Killian.
I'm so grateful for this award. Thank you to the Commonwealth Club and especially the jurors. And I'm really one of three people that put this together. One of them is sitting back here, Malcolm Margolin, the founding publisher of Heyday Books. And he gave me the free rein to do this and to write a lot. And I'm an artist. And although I've dabbled in writing, I got carried away, and they didn't even cut that much. And then, of course, the great inspiration for the book is my friend and collaborator on a number of projects. This is the third book we've done with Heyday that integrates my prints with poetry, and that is California's greatest poet of the natural world, Gary Snyder. And this is the first book where really I kind of steered the text along. And nonetheless, Gary, through a number of interviews that we did and just my reading of his journals and, of course, his poetry, inspired the direction this book took and the way I integrated a lifetime. It's a lifetime of artistic work. And some stories that go back to my teens about the coast, and my early love of the poetry of Robinson Jeffers. And Robinson Jeffers turns out to have been a very serious influence on Gary Snyder, looking for an authentic poetry of the Western United States, of the West Coast of the U.S., when he was a teenager. I never knew that until I started talking to him about this. I was expecting him to be a little bit less than fascinated with Robinson Jeffers' poetry, because his friend Kenneth Rexroth was really quite critical of Romans and Jeffries. So it's so fitting that this award comes along, and I'm followed by Jim Carman. And the last thing I want to say is most of the prints in this book, the woodcut prints, Japanese-style woodcut prints that I did, were done over many, many years in the past. But I did get together a few of them just for this book, and I decided that the opening set of matched prints, a diptych, of Carmel Bay looking at Point Lobos from where Robinson Jeffries built his stone tower down there in the early years of the 20th century should be, the set piece for the opening this book. And I had a sketch with a big cloud that became more and more flaming red as I worked on it because these things grow. I mean, artists, let things take their own life, and it just took off. And it went from gold to orange to fire. And I never understood why that happened. And Jim Carman, who's going to be the next recipient of a well-deserved award, explained it all down in Carmel a few months ago at a gathering to honor Robinson Jeffers, which they have every year. He got into sort of a Jungian analysis of Jeffers' poetry about Point Lobos, which is all about fire. And so you never know what you're going to find when you get involved in these things. And I'm so glad that I'm able to tell that little story. Thank you very much.
Well, as Tom Killian just said, that is the perfect segue to our next award. And this is our contribution to publishing gold medal. The gold medal for contribution to publishing goes to James Carman and Stanford University Press for the collected letters of Robinson Jeffers. The final installment in a 3-volume edition of Robinson Jeffers' correspondence chronicles the life and times of one of California's seminal poets. Congratulations to editor James Carman and Helen Harvey of Stanford University Press.
Thank you, Tom. The Notable Contribution to Publishing Award specifically acknowledges the collaborative nature of publishing. And this year, the vision, commitment, and artistry of Stanford University Press. No author could ask for more from a publisher than I have received from Alan Harvey, the director of the press, and from his exceptional staff. Alan is here this evening, along with Bruce Lundquist, the designer of the collected letters and poet and prophet. My gratitude to Alan, Bruce, and everyone at Stanford is boundless. I'm also grateful to my wife, Paula, who is my research and editorial assistant, and as such, she has an equal share in this award. Without her dedication and exceptional skills, I would not be standing here this evening. In addition, I would like to thank all of you, the Commonwealth Club, and the members of the California Book Awards Selection Committee. As readers of books, you complete the circle of collaboration that inspires authors and makes publishing possible. Finally, I would like to acknowledge Robinson and Una Jeffers, the subject of my research. As authors of the letters that Stanford brought so vividly to life, it is their work we honor tonight. Thank you.
Well, it's been an amazing evening. I would like to thank all of you members of the audience who have joined us here this evening. I'd like to thank those listening to us on radio. And here we are in the home stretch for the 85th Annual California Book Awards. Special thanks to all the writers and the editors who submitted their works to us this year. You work tirelessly in solitary spaces to give life to or shed light on the stories that might otherwise go untold. And told might change the world. Thank you all again for joining us here this evening. Please join us in the room next door to meet our authors and purchase their works. And for those of you who would like to continue reading and being part of the discussion here at the Commonwealth Club, the Book Forum group will be meeting on August 15th to discuss The Sympathizer, and they will be continuing to discuss the winners of the California Book Awards in the months ahead. So once again, thank you for joining us for the California Book Awards. This concludes our wonderful ceremony.